On episode 470 of the 40 Plus Fitness podcast, we bring on running coach Rachel Everett to discuss running after 40. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/470. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. In the introduction music for this podcast, I ask a very simple question. Are you ready to change? The answer for most of us is yes. And since you're still listening to this podcast, I assume your answer is also yes. But change is hard. For many of us, wanting to change and going it alone just doesn't work. We need support, structure, and accountability. I'm launching a 12-week group training program that does just that. This program will help you lose weight and get more fit. And unlike most personal trainers, I guarantee that if you have weight to lose, you will lose at least 15 pounds on this program. As I said in the intro, I want to be your coach. If you'd like to work directly with me, this is your chance. Email me, alan@40plusfitness.com, or message me on Facebook, 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group. Make 2021 your year with 40 Plus Fitness online personal training. All right, Rachel, how are you today?
Good. I'm good, Alan. How are you?
Good, good. So we're putting a little twist on the podcast this week because we wanted to, as we're getting into, and I know it's probably really, really cold where most of you listening to this are, but we're getting into the run, what we'd normally call the running season, particularly in the North America and in Europe. This is the running season. We get into the spring. Now, COVID's probably going to affect this running season as much, if not more, than last year. Things are getting better, but at this and worse, depending on how you're looking at things. But in a general sense, this year is going to be kind of the same thing. But no one can really deny that running is a really good protocol for getting yourself in better shape. It helps you build stamina. It helps you do a lot of different things. And we're going to talk about that today with running coach Rachel Everett.
Yay.
All right. So Rachel, I know you've been a co-host on the podcast now for a few months, but just so folks know who you are, what you're doing and why you're relevant, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on today, Alan. I just got my NASM Certified Personal Training Certificate earlier this year, or earlier in 2020 during the shutdown, because I had a lot of time on my hands. But prior to that, I have been running for about 20 years, a little over 20 years. And I've run hundreds of 5K and 10K distances. I'm closing in on probably 40 half marathons, couple fulls, and a couple ultras. And this year, I'll be hopefully lining up at my first 50 miler later on this summer. So I've been running a really long time, and you could probably tell I really love it. And I really do get excited when people choose running as a great way to get outside, regain their health. I mean, there's so many reasons to start running. And Strava actually recently released some information indicating that they saw a huge increase in activity in 2020, probably directly due to COVID. And a lot of people are out there putting in a ton of walking and running miles. So this is perfect. This is a great time to talk about starting running over 40.
Good. Besides not getting caught by a bear, what are some of the benefits that someone will get running after 40?
Well, it's a really great way to improve your cardiovascular system. It's a great way to burn some calories. And in times like this, it's actually an ideal way to burn off some stress. And if you're having a problem sleeping at night, like a lot of us do as we get older, burning off these calories and that stress can actually improve your sleep habits as well. And it's really important that we get all the sleep that we can, especially when we're doing new pursuits like running.
Yeah, the sleep thing is important. And one of the reasons I think you're seeing a benefit with sleep is that you're getting blue light, you're getting outdoors. You know, then one of the things that we've gotten away from in our modern lifestyles is we're in an office and we're cooped up and it's artificial light. It's not the same. And so getting outside for a run is going to expose your skin to sunlight. It's going to, you know, basically turn on your hormone cycles. It's going to tell your body what time of day it is based on the light and the time of day you run. And then, yes, because you've done that thing to set your clock, you know, your
circadian rhythm.
You've set that clock. Now, yes, your body's going to be in a much better position to sleep. And it is a good step for that. And it is a good step. It does burn some calories. Again, most of your weight loss should come from what you do in the kitchen and what you put in your mouth. But, you know, yes, it's a good way to get some extra calorie burn going if that's what you're after. And then the other thing is just generally stamina. You know, people who don't run at all, when they find that they need to do something like run or jog or try to catch a bus or something, you know, just something naturally, they're winded, you know, going up the stairs quickly, they're winded. Whereas someone who has been training for a 5K or something like that, they've noticed that they can get up a flight of stairs a lot easier. So really good reasons to consider running after 40.
For sure.
So, okay. So let's just say I'm a person who's come to you, Rachel, and I say, okay, look, I want to start running. You know, I was active when I was a kid and I was running all over the place back then. But now I've got all these aches and pains. I've been in an office job for 25 years. But I want to start running. I know it's, you know, I don't really get back in the gym right now. I just don't feel safe there. But I know if I could get out and do some running, that's going to do a lot of benefits for me. So, the benefits we just talked about. So if someone wanted to get into running, what are some things that you would tell them to do?
First, I would say, yay, congratulations. I'm glad you're ready to run and I'm ready to run with you. I'd be so happy to. But I would start with finding a why. What is your motivation to run? And a lot of people will set their eye on a goal. And maybe there's a 5K in the town for a really good charity. A lot of charities, a lot of churches, a lot of schools, local park systems, a lot of people will host a 5K race. And it would be great to put that on your calendar. You've got some big neon sign that you can look forward to, and you could get ready and prepare for that particular race. I know that there may not be a lot of in-person races going on in 2021, or at least not for a while, but there are still a ton of virtual races. And in many cases, these
sloth
charities...
Sloth running team.
Just like the sloth, yeah. But a lot of these churches and schools and park systems, all these other charities still need the same amount of money, whether there's people in person or not. And so if you could find something that you can support in your local community, look to see if they're going to host their 5K in person or if it's going to be virtual, and go ahead and sign up. That would be a great place to get started.
Okay. Now, so I decide I'm going to run a 5K. Okay. You've convinced me I'm going to run a 5K. I look on the calendar and there's a virtual 5K that I can do because there's not any 5Ks here on my island, but I say, okay, I want to do a virtual 5K and I want to sign up for it. And so I go and I do the sign up online, and it's going to happen in about 10 weeks, 12 weeks.
Perfect.
Okay. Yeah. What do I do next? What do I do?
Well, to get started, I would say find a plan of some sort that you could follow. The Coach to 5K plan is really well known and it's very successful. And it's a very similar plan to what Jeff Galloway, former Olympian Jeff Galloway, has put out with his Walk Run program. And both of them are walk run programs where there's a ratio. So for example, you might start with 3 or 4 minutes of walking followed by 30 seconds of running, and then you repeat that ratio for a set amount of time, whichever the plan dictates. And the great part of having a walk run program is that it's going to teach your body slowly how to move faster. And so when you're in the running segment, for example, you might have a 30 second run. I want to make sure that people know this isn't a sprint. This isn't where you just turn on the afterburners and go all out for that 30 seconds. This is actually just go a little faster than what you were just doing during the walk. And the whole point of that is that a lot of people just assume you go out there and you zoom around the block or something, and your heart rate goes up, you're breathing heavy, it's not comfortable, and then it becomes not fun. And then a lot of people will quit right then and there. So you start off walking, you do a little segment of running, like maybe at a jogging pace, and then you walk again. And it just is a slow introduction to running. It's really perfect.
We had Jeff on the show to talk about his run, walk, run method. So that's an episode. I'll make sure to have a link in the show notes. Perfect. To that one. And again, yes, as Rachel mentioned, the goal is not to redline as in Jeff's book. In fact, you don't want to, because that's going to cause a buildup of lactic acid. And that's where you're going to feel that burn. That's where you're going to feel the pain afterwards. You're going to be in sore. Whereas if you're doing that kind of that, the way I put it, gentle nudging, a little bit faster than your walk, get your heart rate up to, 75%, maybe 80. But that's kind of the line. And then, you can still generally have a conversation with someone. And then your 30 seconds is up, you drop back down to your walk, you do a little bit of recovery. And those intervals of the walking and the running really do help you build that endurance. And the way these plans are structured, the Couch to 5Ks, there's several of them you get on your phone. Some of them are pretty cool. They've got voices, the guys are they're talking you through it. Some of them are built up like zombies are chasing you and things like that. So there's some fun things out there that'll get you going and get you moving over time, and that kind of that gentle nudging getting you to a point. And the interesting thing I like to tell people that are training for 5K is you don't have to be able to run 5K, which is 3.1 miles, to do a 5K. In fact, a lot of people will train, they won't quite have ever really run a full 3 miles. But on race day, the adrenaline kicks in and suddenly they find themselves running a 5K. So you realize your race will probably be faster and actually probably easier than the training was. There's the people, there's the thing, again, unless it's virtual. So then in that case, find some buddies to do it with. But those programs are really, really good.
They are very successful. I actually took the Jeff Galloway training program when I was training for my first full marathon. And I was resistant to try it at first because I just couldn't comprehend how, if you were to walk, a third of the time that you're running it, how you're going to get to the finish line any faster. But truth be told, it's true. And it's easier on your body. And when you're over 40, things are changing. You're not, a teenager or a kid running around the baseball diamond anymore. I mean, when you're 40, you just need to ease into it. And a walk run program is so safe, and it's designed to reduce your risk for injury. So it's really important that you find a Couch to 5K or a Jeff Galloway type plan to get yourself eased into the repetition of running.
Okay. So now I'm getting ready to go out and run, and what are some things I want to consider as far as, obviously time is great. You can say, okay, walk for 3 minutes, run for 30 seconds, but I kind of also want to know how far I'm going, right?
Right. So when I started running over 20 years ago, I did not have a GPS watch. I had a car and it had an odometer. And I would drive around my subdivision. I marked out a half mile and a mile. And I used those landmarks to find where I was going. Well, nowadays we have these fancy watches, although you don't need to buy one if you're going to just start running at this point, but you can look for a track or a local park system with trails and find a place where you could do this walk run program safely.
Yeah, that's a key. if you're out on the roads, you know, that's, and we're going to talk about safety a little bit later, but find a route that is something that you know very well, so you're not getting lost. I went for a, not so much a run, but as a long hike when we were traveling in Hong Kong. And I went up this hill and it was beautiful up there. And I was like, really, you know, because you're thinking Hong Kong's just a big city, but we were over on the Kowloon side. And so I go up this hill and it's like wooded and pretty and just really nice park. And then I got to the other side of the hill. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to come back. And I came back and I was at an entirely different place than where I started up that hill. And I had no idea where I was. Like, oh, none. No. Like none. And I had not brought my phone with me. And so I had zero idea where I was. And so it's like, I literally just got into a taxi. I told him where my hotel was and I was on the exact opposite side. I mean, it was just amazing how far away I was from I thought I was because I just made a wrong turn. So yeah, kind of knowing your route, knowing some of the risks of the route. And then of course you've always, you know, now these days you've got a GPS on your phone. So that's going to help, you know it. I use an app called Runkeeper. That will basically track my runs or walks. So when I go out, I know my timing, my splits and all of those things. So, you know, if you're into data, there's some pretty cool apps out there to help you with that.
Yes, that is perfect.
Now, one of the reasons that I think a lot of people are, aspire to running versus some other things that they might do is one, you know, it's something you can do on your own. So you don't have to have a partner. So it's not like playing tennis where, you know, at some point it's no more fun to just keep hitting the ball against the wall or serving to yourself. At some point, you know, you have to have a teammate or someone to go against. And and so a lot of sports and a lot of things are that way. And with running, you can be outside. But the other thing that's really cool about running is that it costs virtually nothing. I mean,
yes, it has a very low.
Let's talk about the equipment because that's one of the.
It's true. Running has a low barrier of entry, which is great. You really only need a pair of athletic shoes, although it is kind of a joke because once you get into running, things can add up. But you don't need all of these fancy gadgets, fancy clothing, fancy nothing until you really know what you actually need. So I'm sure everybody has in their classic or in their closet a pair of tennis shoes. Shoes or running shoes of some sort. We all have leisure wear, shorts of some sort, basketball shorts. There's actually a famous ultra runner who runs in basketball shorts. That's her choice. And so just dust off those shoes out of your closet. And but if you are lacking shoes, I do totally recommend going to your local running store and talking to the salespeople about shoes. When you're ready to buy running shoes, they will be able to answer all your questions. They will ask you what kind of mileage you're going to run, if you're going to be on the road or the trails. If you're a heavier person, you want a sturdy shoe. If you pronate one way or another, you want a stability shoe. So get advice from the local running people. They actually do know what they're doing. So it's a good place to go first.
Yeah, because you know, when I started getting into the longer runs, the marathons, that's exactly what I did. And so you go in and you know, at that point I was considered heavier. You're not 195 pounds and running marathons and ultra marathons, at least not a lot of people were back then. So I was big for runners that, and so, yeah. And because my foot is generally wider, I had to have a shoe, I had to have a type of shoe that would have a larger toe box. So I couldn't use Nikes. I couldn't use Reeboks because they were cut too thin. They really didn't have a wide shoe box. So at that point it was New Balance was the brand that had the wider toe box. That was the right shoe for me. Now, would I have ever walked over and bought New Balance? And the answer is probably not, because Nike was the king of running shoes. They came out of Oregon for that very reason. And then, you know, Reebok was coming behind, and then there was these other brands that you would see in the running stores. And so, yeah, I went into a running store. The guy watched me run. He says, you pronate a little bit. You're going to need some support. Your foot's generally wider than most, so you're going to need a big toe box. And so he pulled out a set of New Balance and said, put these on. And, you know, I did great, you know, and it is important at some level, particularly if you have had problems in the past, because when I was in the Army and did a lot of running, I started having knee problems, and that was on the concrete. that was, not having good shoes, in some cases, combat boots. Mm-hmm. So I had knee problems when I was in basic training in the first year or so that I was in the Army. And then here I was trying to basically 4 years later start running marathons. And my knees could have easily gotten shot again mm-hmm. with the volume of training I was doing. But I had the right shoes. I went in and bought a good pair of shoes. And it went a long way. But initially, yeah, all you need is just a comfortable pair of shoes because you're looking at lower distances. You're just going to be doing some walking and some jogging. I actually also use basketball shorts when I run. But if I'm going to do a longer distance, I realize there's a chafing issue. Then I get runner shorts on. So, if doing the shorter distances, just any pair of comfortable loose shorts and mm-hmm. some halfway decent shoes and, moisture wicking clothing and you're typically good. And then of course, if you're running and it's cold, you need to layer. Mm-hmm. If you're running and it's hot, you need to somewhat layer so you can also kind of cut down to a lesser profile of clothing. But it's really easy to get started.
Yeah. And I totally recommend that you just go through your closet first and get in a couple of training runs and see how all this equipment works for you. When I started running, I did wear cotton t-shirts, just your basic Hanes white cotton t-shirt. Well, after I put on some more miles, I realized that the dry wick clothing would be a lot more comfortable to wear. And you can buy that at any big box store, Amazon, anywhere, running, of course, your running store. But the point is that you don't need it until you recognize that you need it. So don't go out and get all outfitted for running until you know exactly what you need. And it same goes with your shoes. Once you've run in your own shoes from your closet for a while, see how your feet are feeling, see how your knees are feeling. And if you're getting aches and pains, then go to your running store and get some advice on getting a better fitting shoe. And similarly, while you're on getting shoes, take a look at the running socks. Now, I personally have always been prone to blisters. I just have bony feet. And so there's a friction element in between your shoe and your sock. So cotton socks, they're not going to last you for very long. If you start getting blisters, then definitely go to your running store and look for some dry wicking socks. That will make you a whole lot happier to be comfortable. And they're not terribly expensive either. So socks would be a good thing to buy pretty early.
Okay. So now I go out and I do this good run the first day. I feel really good. Do I just do it again tomorrow and then the next day and the next day, or do I need to take some days off?
Well, that's the exciting part about having a plan, is that the plan will tell you when to do these routines. And usually plans like the Couch to 5K will have maybe 3 or 4 days of running during the week. And then it'll tell you that you can cross train or take rest days on the other days. And I have to say that as we are 40 and over, this is really important to do some cross training as well as take the rest days when you need it. You really do have to listen to your body. When you start a new workout routine, you're going to have the delayed onset muscle soreness, the DOMS. Everybody knows that feeling. But if you're getting something more serious, more aches and pains, you really need to pay attention and listen and take that rest day if you need it. Even if the plan says to run, take that day off.
Yeah. One of the things when you get, which if you get into running and you do some of these things, you start doing a 5K or you join a running team and you do these different things, you're going to start running more. Mm-hmm. And when you start running more, you start recognizing some aches and pains, running after 40, even though I'll say this, when I started running marathons, I was a baby, from their consideration, I was 29 years old and they all considered me a baby. There weren't many young guys like me doing ultras. Most of the people, you start talking to them, they didn't start running marathons until they were after 40. Mm-hmm. They're over 40. And in one case, I finished an ultra. The guy was 68 years old. So, this is an old man's, an old woman's sport, mm-hmm. if you will. I mean, unless you're doing it competitively, then of course, the Usain Bolts and all those folks out there, they're younger. But in a general sense, if you're looking at the recreational runner, mm-hmm. most of us are a good bit older. But your body talks to you. You have a language in your body, and there's some pains that you definitely want to pay attention to, and there's some that you don't. You just need to change something. So, like, you know, one thing that will happen when you're doing some running, you might notice that you have an ache, a really bad ache in some cases, called a stitch, that occurs right under your rib cage, right under your diaphragm. It hurts a lot, but there's a way around it. So you make a change. And that's typically the case with any time you feel pain. So, Rachel, let's talk about some of the common things that runners experience and what they need to do. Just generally a little short clip. This is some things to consider with regards to each one.
Well, I know a lot of runners end up with tight calves. It's part of the push-pull of the motion of running. And it can have something to do with the shoes. It can have something to do with overtraining. It can have something to do with too much vertical climb in your route, which is tough. I live in a very hilly area, so I struggle with my calves. And so when you get these aches and pains, you really need to take a minute and assess the situation. Is it your shoes? Especially if you have new shoes, that could upset your gait a little bit. If you're maybe twisted an ankle on a trail, on a root or a rock, just need to take a minute, walk it out, maybe go home and try it again another day. But for runners over 40, I have a prehab and a rehab. And the prehab is you need to do the dynamic kind of warm up before you go out and run. If you think of your muscles and tendons as a rubber band, if you've got a rubber band that's cold, it's going to snap under pressure. And your muscles, they need a minute. They need to get warmed up before you go out and start doing anything vigorous. So a little foam rolling, a little dynamic stretching, you know, some jumping jacks, get the heart moving, then go and do your run. And then equally important is coming home and getting your body back down to normal equilibrium. So I like to walk before I start. So I usually take my dogs out for a walk in the morning before I run. And then when I get home, I usually walk it off. I'll get out the foam roller and I'll hit my tight calves or any other particular muscle group that's tight. So it's important to pay attention to your body and then act to resolve those issues.
Yeah. So, you know, with the tightness, I think that's really kind of one of the big ones, because that's one of the kind of the most common things I see with people who are over 40 is we do have tight calves. It comes sometimes from wearing heels. So not just the shoes you're wearing when you're running, but what you're wearing at work and things, and sitting at a desk and you're not getting the what we call dorsiflexion from a personal training perspective that you would normally be getting. And yes, running is definitely going to tighten up your calves. I have extremely tight calves, and so I do have to make sure I stretch them. And in some cases, go ahead and roll them. But again, not rolling. I'm literally pressing into the muscle to make it release. It's painful, and I have to use one of those squirrel softballs. So, you know, this is a hard, round object that I have to do because my calves are that tight. It takes that much to get them to release, but it affects every bit of my movement pattern. So I'm trying to do a squat, if I'm trying to run, if I'm trying to do anything, if my calves are tight, my movement pattern is messed up. And so if I don't do that for my knees, for my calves, here's what's going to happen. The front of my shin, the piriformis, I think is what it's called, it's going to cramp because it's going to try to get tight to compensate, and it's going to start to really hurt. And then the other thing that's going to happen is I'm going to not be getting a good gait. So I'm going to be putting additional stress on my quadriceps and my knee. And if I run for a long time that way, I risk really messing my legs up, my knees, and all of it. So it's a very important aspect of understanding your running habits and your running your body and what it's telling you, so that you're addressing those types of things. So really important.
Shin splints are a nightmare, and that happens a lot for new runners. And it's because you're moving in a new way. I mean, everybody walks every day, but not very many people actually run. And so when you get into that running gait, definitely shin splints are a real pain. And then on the opposite side of that, plantar fasciitis. That's the tendon that goes up through your soleus in the back. And that is causes some pretty intense heel pain. So the calf muscle is kind of like the epicenter for all these problems. And it's really important that you address that. The technique you had mentioned to me earlier this year, Alan, with using a softball on my calves instead of a foam roller, when you find that really tender spot, and I know that it hurts, that's when you want to sit on that softball, put a little pressure on it to get that muscle to release. And that works so well for me this year with my tight calves. Another a garment that might be worth investing in, it's not terribly expensive, are the compression socks or compression sleeves. It's basically a calf sleeve without the sock portion on your foot. And that pressure can help loosen up some of those tight muscles as well. It's sometimes I wear them running. Usually I just wear them for recovery, but that could be a very helpful piece of equipment to get.
Yeah. Okay. So Rachel, okay. So now we're dedicated. We're going to run this 5K. Uh-huh. We're really excited about it. What are some other secrets that are going to make sure we're successful in completing this 5K?
Oh, well, take a look at your nutritional habits would be a good thing for right now. I like to have people think that an athlete doesn't exercise and diet, they fuel and train. So if you think of food as fuel, you'll be able to hone in better on the foods that help fuel your run and not weigh you down. So this would be a good time to cut back on the sugar and the junk food and give yourself the nutrition it needs to work harder on a run.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they'll see these products, particularly if you go into the run store, you're going to mm-hmm. see these products, particularly at the front, at the counter. And one of them's going to be called Goo. And there's a lot of other brands out there now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all this different stuff in it. But if you look at the main ingredients of every single one of those, it's sugar or some form of sugar, probably high fructose corn syrup. Mm-hmm. And the base deal is that they think, you know, you've got to refuel while you're doing the run. Mm-hmm. Here's the cold, hard facts. You have enough glucose and glycogen in your body right now that you could go out and complete not just a 5K, but easily a 10K and mm-hmm. probably even half a marathon without ever needing any fuel at all.
Yes, I caution people. They look delicious because there's really fun flavors out there, like birthday cake and espresso coffee flavors. But no, you certainly don't need any of these running nutritional products for a 5K or a 10K. I think that I would wager to guess people have probably closer to 20 miles of glucose in their bodies before they really hit the wall, which is a common running term. But so I would stay away from these products until you get into the higher distances. They're just not necessary. But what is necessary would be obviously water and possibly electrolytes, especially if you're training in extreme heat and you're a big sweater, like I used to be when I was in Florida, I used to sweat buckets in that heat and humidity. And so electrolytes could be very helpful. And even in the winter, even though you're not thirsty in the winter, you still need that hydration. So be sure to have water before and after. May not need it during, but maybe a handheld water bottle could be helpful if you find that need.
Yeah. I think one of the core things to think about, and it's more important when you get into longer distances than maybe a 5K, but mm-hmm. you are how you train mm-hmm. and you should eat the same way you would eat. So don't change up your routine, your food routine for your 5K, for your race. Mm-hmm. Find a way of fueling yourself that feels comfortable. Some people don't want to have anything in their stomach when they're running. Some people mm-hmm. need something to eat before they run. So find out how you are as far as your training, particularly as you get towards the end of your training mm-hmm. by focusing what you eat and then following course to do the exact same thing on race day. And you'll feel a lot better and you'll be properly fueled that way.
That's a really good rule of thumb is never try anything new on race day. So not any new equipment, not food or anything at all, definitely. And it is true. once you clean up your diet a little bit, you'll find that the heavier foods, the junk foods, will weigh you down. They don't give you the energy that you need. You don't need sugar to give you that boost. And when I lived in Florida, I remember one evening I took my kids to Chick-fil-A for dinner, and then I met my run club at night. That was probably the biggest running mistake of my entire life. So yeah, just be careful what you eat and when you eat before you go out on a run.
Yeah. And a part of that, you know, one of the cool things about these things like 5Ks, 10Ks, particularly when you start getting into some of the longer distance, like half marathons, marathons, is they're typically a road trip. They're, you're typically traveling to another location, another state, maybe even another country. And so if you're doing that, one of the things I'd caution you is, like she said, having the same stuff, don't check your running apparel.
Good point.
Okay? Don't check it. Carry it with mm-hmm. you. I was going to the Marine Corps Marathon and they lost my luggage.
Oh.
And the only good thing was I arrived on a Friday night for a run that was Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I had Saturday to go to the expo, which I wanted to do anyway. But what it meant was I bought a new pair of shoes. I bought new running shorts. I brought a new running shirt. Mm-hmm. And so everything I was wearing was new, and I had blisters and chafes, and it was a wonderful run. Don't get me wrong, but
sure.
At the same time, it would have been a much better experience if I was wearing the stuff I had already broken in that I was comfortable with. Yeah. So yeah, just good little point. Things like that you'll pick up on as you get into this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Rachel, I'm ready to go. I've got everything planned. I've got my nutrition set. I'm ready to go. What are those things that are just going to keep me moving? That's going to keep me excited, keep me seeing progress?
Well, the big secrets to success is basically consistency. You just got to keep at it. And a lot of people will follow that couch to 5K plan repetitively because it's such a good plan. And then maybe aim for a bigger distance like the 10K or half marathon, but the plan should keep you on track. And then the specificity, you know, if you're going to do trail runs, get out on the trail and see what it's like to run on a trail versus the road. And I enlist your friends. A lot of people do the couch to 5K with a friend because it's fun to run with someone, and it's encouraging to have that accountability as well as the motivation with your friends, which is why I'm a huge fan of run clubs. I have been in several run clubs, and when you've got 20 or 30 people out there cheering for you at a race, there is just nothing more satisfying and motivating than hearing your name being shouted as you're approaching the finish line. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. And the cool thing with the way Rachel and I run is everybody else in the run club is at the finish line.
Yes,
we get there.
That's right. Which makes it very special.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We get the most out of our runs. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yes. You know, yeah. Joining a run club, having a training partner, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, making it fun because, yes. you know, I think that's one of the cores of this is if you find yourself being the competitive type, well, guess what? They're going to tell you the time of your 5K. Maybe the next year when you run that same 5K, you try to get a bit better time. Or like when I was doing the marathons, it was like, oh, here's, you know, in this run magazine, because yeah, I got into buying the running magazines at the time. We didn't really have the internet to the extent we do today, was, you know, here was this run, this, you know, marathon in California. It was deemed the most beautiful marathon. It's called Big Sur Marathon. And you're running through the rainforest and then over the Bixby Bridge, right along the coastline in Northern California. And it is beautiful. It's also a very, very hard marathon. But at the same time, it was wonderful to fly out to California, to spend some time in Carmel by the sea, and to do this marathon with a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, less so with the 5Ks, unless you're running with some people, you know, but the longer the run, it seems the more social they get. So I, you know, over the years as I was doing it, met some really cool people. We had some great times on the runs. And there were some of them that, I'd actually see them at another marathon somewhere else in the country. You know, so a guy who was at the Big Sur was then also at Washington, D.C. You know, so I ran into the same guy. You know, there were X thousands of people at one and then over 17,000 at the other. And I happened to run into a guy I met on another run. So, you know, it's a very social opportunity. The run clubs are really cool. Rachel doesn't have she moves somewhere there isn't a run club. Rachel's going to start a run club.
You bet.
And, you know, they talk about run clubs. So that's not one of their rules.
That's right. It's the only thing to do is talk about it.
Yeah. And I think the final thing is, and this is also very important, particularly if you're, you know, if you're looking at your running and you either want to make sure you're doing it safely and you're doing it the right way, beyond the apps, beyond the programs, and you just want to have that tool that's going to make you a better runner, it's going to make you a safer runner, you really ought to consider getting some input, getting a trainer, because that can go a long way towards helping you improve your gait. Mm-hmm. So your form is there. You understand if your calves are too tight. You understand if your gait is going to cause you some problems in the future. You also understand, like, you know, I'm a pronator, a heavy pronator, and so I need a special kind of shoe to prevent some problems with my knees and ankles in the future if I'm putting on any kind of distance. So, you know, having a coach is going to go a long way. And Rachel is our running coach here at 40 Plus Fitness. So if you're looking at getting into running after 40, I definitely consider hiring a coach, because it's going to keep you from a lot of the aches and pains and injuries that you hear about a lot in this sport. So Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today. If someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about your run coaching, where would you like for me to send them?
Well, I just launched my business and I'm at strong-souls.com. And I'll send you that link. And through my website, you could find my socials. I'll be on Facebook and Instagram as well. And there's some contacts, some easy contact forms on my website. So if you did have any questions, go ahead and shoot me an email and I'll see what I can do to help you. I've been running for over 20 years. So I have been through it all. I have blistered, I have chafed, I have done crazy things in all my many miles out there. And I bet I could help you get through running. And I love it. And I want you to love it too. So let me help you make it enjoyable as well.
And Rachel, you have a freebie for us too, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've been working on a runner's workout. And while it is important to run, it's also important to cross train and also to do some strength training. And I have a very simple circuit style training, which is just body weight movements. You don't need anything except maybe a towel or a yoga mat for your floor. So these are all movements that runners need to strengthen their glutes, their hams, their quads, and it'll be a great cross training for you on the days that you're not running. It's called the Runner's Workout. And if you go to my website, sign up for it, and it'll be automatically emailed to you.
And I will be sure to have a link in the show notes. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/470 and I'll have the link there. So Rachel, as always, it's such a pleasure to have you on the podcast now, but also as a co-host. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Alan. I love running and I hope that your listeners will too.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Abby Langer and discuss her book, Good Food, Bad Diet, The Habits You Need to Ditch Diet Culture, Lose Weight, and Fix Your Relationship with Food Forever. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.